It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener on K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peters True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pahuska, Barnstall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, and Overlee's Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And he is here. He is ready to answer your garden questions. And it is nearly February, so spring is somewhere on the way. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Charlie. Good to see you.
Nice to be seen and heard.
February is getting close, and a lot of stuff happens in February.
Sure.
The days are getting longer. The days are getting longer, and it snows like crazy.
It does.
And spring will be here shortly, so don't give up.
Okay.
And by all means, because it's going to be nice and warm this weekend, doesn't mean you need to plant your tomato plants right away. It is January.
Yes.
So in other words, try not to push the envelope too much.
But we're all, I think, starting to get ready for spring already.
Right. Everybody's just, I'm going to get out. But don't dethatch the yard yet.
Had a nice taste of it yesterday with temperatures around 70.
It was actually pleasant to work outside for once for an afternoon. Yes.
For the end of January, that's great.
Anyway, a lot goes on this month. Spring will be here shortly. The weather has been very good lately. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get a little bit of rain now and then and so on. We got a little bit of rain coming, perhaps Monday night.
Yes.
And then Tuesday looks like a pretty good day, a little rainy maybe, but Wednesday, here it comes, it falls apart again, 30 in the 30s, then 17.
We are not yet done with winter.
No.
As a matter of fact, I'm not sure whether this is documentable or it just seems that way, but some of our worst winter weather comes in February, March.
And it does seem to, yeah, precipitation-wise, temperature-wise, yeah, we've had some pretty cold spells in February.
Yeah, so.
It ain't over yet.
Yeah, no.
So, lot of people are having questions about what they should be doing in the garden right now, and planning is one of the best things you can do.
Okay.
It doesn't take long to plan for your garden. All you do is say, well, I want something to look pretty.
Well, yeah, but then...
And get on the phone and give me a call. That's one way to do it.
How many colors in a pretty? I mean, you know...
Yeah, I mean, what... And there are a lot of plants that grow, you know, in different areas and so on, and have different care requirements, too.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we need to think of the bad things that come with it, like weeds.
That is a perennial problem, if I can use that word correctly.
A lot of weeds are perennials, yes. Right now, coming up, the henbit's starting to grow, and the chickweed is beginning to grow.
Okay.
And we do have really nice weather today, and it's not going to be overly cold tonight. It's going to be fairly nice tomorrow.
Okay.
What is it going to be tomorrow? Anyway?
Tomorrow is looking at upper 50s, so maybe 5 to 7 degrees cooler than today.
Okay, well, that's not too bad.
No.
You could get the Roundup out and zing those weeds in the yard, which I think I'm going to do myself.
And you've talked about those minimum temperature requirements. How long does it have to be there? I mean, you can't just have it, you know, 55 degrees for 4 minutes and get the Roundup out.
No, it won't work that way. You know, the weather tonight is going to be in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be maybe 60, maybe even 70 today, perhaps.
Yeah.
If the sun stays out.
So you're going to get some...
You're going to get some good effect on it. It's going to get into the plant, and it might stay there for a while till it warms up again, then finally kill it. But you're going to get some control,
okay,
at least right now. So you might consider doing that if you have a perennial problem with a lot of weeds, or a problem with a lot of perennial weeds, either way. But but it only works in dormant grass. Dormant,
yeah.
Zoysia grass, dormant Bermuda grass. It's one way to completely wipe out a fescue lawn if you put Roundup on your weeds right now.
Well, you've said it on this program, and I believe it to be true. You can just say the word Roundup around a fescue lawn, and the thing will wilt.
Oh, yeah, it'll wilt and die. The same thing with tomatoes. You say Roundup, and you'll pfft. Yeah. And there, in your beds, there are a lot of pre-emergents you can use. The Preen is a very effective pre-emergent herbicide.
Mm-hmm.
The chemical in Preen is Treflan, which is used a lot by farmers, cotton farmers, to keep the weeds out.
Been around for a long time, very successful.
A long time, and some of those newly emerging weeds that come up, it will do some control.
Mm-hmm.
North, I say some control. It's the very, very soonest time to put that down.
Okay.
I'd like to go about the middle of February until the middle of March for a lot of spring weed pre-emergent applications. Mm-hmm. The pre-emergent herbicides have a lifespan typically of 90 days.
Okay.
So if you put it on early, be prepared to repeat it in April, or late March, April, maybe even in or May, depending on what the weather does. So you've got to factor all that stuff in. So anyway, it's a good time to shop around, see what's out there, ask some questions, mm-hmm. and perhaps we can help out at the nursery too if you have a question about weeds.
Yes. It's also a good time to
Who wants to be out there in the hot sun pulling weeds? Come on.
Nobody.
No fun.
No.
Jeez.
The only thing I want to do out there in the really hot weather is go pull the tomatoes off the vine and then bring them back in.
You bet. Pick that okra and all that.
So it's also a time to stop by the nursery, talk to you, pull out the seed catalogs, dream a little bit about what your garden can look like next year.
Exactly. I have a landscape appointment today. Someone wants to walk around their house and see what can be done about this and that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fun to talk to people and talk about their plants and their landscape and what they want to do and come up with some ideas. And a lot of times I can come up with things they never even thought about. And even, controlling views, for instance. We're in our backyard. We're so hemmed in on our own property mm-hmm. that we're just not aware sometimes of what's going on past it. And I look, I said, that's a $1 million view. You don't want to plant that there. That's just beautiful. Or I said, oh, yuck.
Either way, yeah.
That's an ugly view. I see a telescope in your neighbor's window. Well, you got to screen that off, you know, that kind of thing. And so having a kind of an awareness of not only your own property, but the surroundings is kind of important, too. So anyway, that's just something we can talk about, the type of plants you have, how to maintain them, you know, when and how to water and fertilize them, mm-hmm. and even when to trim some things, too.
Yeah, that's important.
So there's a lot to it. So, and not everybody has the knowledge. So you need to gain some knowledge.
Knowledge, and I'm going to add and experience, because you've been doing this sort of thing for a while.
Just a little while, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least as long as you've been on this program. So
well, yeah, that's about 40 years. <isn't it? laughs> No, but anyway, so just having an awareness of what needs to be done is kind of important too.
Yeah, and being able to ask the right questions to a homeowner, not only about what they want it to look like, but you know, how much time and effort do they want to put into maintaining
your landscape. Yeah. There's just drainage issues, too, that mm-hmm. A lot of times I see, and people don't even know. You look at the brick on the house, and there's what we call efflorescence on the brick. That's an indication that it stays saturated for a fairly long period of time. And these are things I look for when I go to people's house and do the landscape. So, well, we need to do something, lower the soil level or something, to get that moisture away from the brick. Because when it's like 70 degrees one day and fairly moist, and then it turns really, really cold, mm-hmm. a lot of the brick in your house is not really hard-fired. It's kind of porous, sort of like a clay pot.
Okay.
Because it's not intended to be ground contact. And if there is an issue with that, also bring it up and say, this is moist right over here. The brick is exfoliating. Something has to be done before it's too late. Mm-hmm. And, I get a lot of,
Hadn't even thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you get all this green moss on the ground and whatnot. And so we need to improve the percolation and the quality of the soil next to your house so you don't have this constant moisture issue.
And then you start talking about French drains and all of this stuff.
French drains, a lot of times they don't always apply.
Okay.
A lot of houses here are built on just flat ground. And if you put in a French drain, where's the water going to go? And most of the time, really, when there's a water issue around the house, just soil modification.
Okay.
You can add some porosity to the soil. Just add some coarse sand to the soil mm-hmm. and or some gypsum to the soil. And a lot of times that'll permit it to dry to dry out a lot quicker. So the moisture doesn't stay just forever over there.
So a lot of the same sort of things that you talk to people about as far as modifying the soil for a good garden also works with all those water issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, when you do prep the soil. Now we were at a house about a month ago, and the soil was unprepared. or somebody tried to prepare it. We had to do some more to it. It was awful. And you couldn't walk on it. You sunk halfway up to your knees.
Wow.
In these beds, and she couldn't grow a thing, and it stunk.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. So we got in there with our tillers and tilled it up real good and turned it over, actually by hand. The tiller wouldn't work. That's right. We had to use the shovels and flip it over and added some more stuff to help kind of bind it a little bit. Now you can walk over the top of it without squishing it, even after all the rain we've had. It's just, you just have to just ask some questions, and usually we can have a solution for it.
Okay.
And that's not the only one we had issues with. The water in one house is actually surrounded by a sidewalk, and the water was going towards the house, and it's like, you know, a moat for a long time. And I said, where's your floor elevation? So we kind of traced it around and said, you've got a good 6 inches before you hit your floor. We could bring in some soil and slope it down gradually so the water runs out.
Mm-hmm.
And that solved another issue with water just hanging out in the house and causing a stinky, ugly mess where they couldn't grow anything. Now, golly, she could probably grow okra in there, turnips or whatever, and don't have any problems.
Wow.
So
big difference.
Yeah, so it does. And having a little knowledge of soil quality and whatnot helps too.
Well, I think sometimes a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, but you bring a lot more to it than that.
Indeed. So if you do have issues with your landscape, maybe it's because the soil isn't right, and it's pretty, with some good back work, it's pretty easily remedied.
Okay.
So. Well. Get busy.
Yes, absolutely. Invite Larry over to your house, and if he makes some recommendations, pay heed. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. We'll continue in just a moment.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. The number is sent. Get you on the air with Larry Glass this morning. And we used to talk about taking a walk around every once in a while around the house. Do the same thing with the garden and take a look at how things are growing or not growing and water puddling up and that sort of thing.
Occasionally we get newcomers in the town and they just want somebody to walk around, look at the stuff around their house.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, this is this plant, and this is that plant. We need to do this and this and this to it, and so on and so on. And then we get done and say, well, how much do I owe you? I said, well, just come by the nursery, you know, and buy some stuff. Don't worry about it. You know, welcome to the neighborhood, you know. So a lot of times house calls just don't cost anything. And it's good to get to know people. And they might even have questions about what goes on in town and stuff mm-hmm. like that, too, not only that. So I kind of act as a diplomat too on that as far as that's concerned. But yeah, just if you're new to town, yeah, come on, give us a call and we can take a horticultural tour of the house and find out what you have and discuss the assets and liabilities of your landscape.
And I guess they can be plentiful if you if just the previous owners, designers, whoever had maybe not followed somebody else's good advice.
Yeah, so that's pretty easy to do. You just set up an appointment. That's all you have to do.
Okay.
Sometime when you're home mm-hmm. and when it's light outside and when it's not 17 degrees.
Okay. Well, then if you had an appointment later today, that would be a good day for you to go to that homeowner's house and make some good recommendations then.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do this morning. But I can't do it for the rest of the day because we're putting on a paving project we're doing, putting down polymeric sand, which is something that kind of fills in the cracks and stabilizes it.
Fake sand, huh?
Actually, it's real sand.
Oh, okay.
But it just it's mixed in with polymers, and you get it wet. You put it down like you do normally sand in between pavers.
Uh-huh.
you get the blower out and you get to sweep it all and get it all cleaned up and then smear this polymeric sand on it and pack it down into the in between the cracks mm-hmm. and then sweep it off and get a little backpack blower or a leaf blower and
okay.
gently wipe off the sand you don't want,
mm-hmm.
put a little water on it, and bam, those bricks are tight. They're not going anywhere.
That's great.
So when doing a paving project, I think it's kind of a necessary step, depending on the types of pavers you use, to have that done too. So if you're having any paving done anywhere, say, do you put down polymeric sand after it's done?
And frequently they give you this strange look.
What? It's kind of a horse look, you know, with the teeth hanging out. Whoop.
I wish I had that recording of Mr. Ed. Okay.
I've seen that before when people come in and whoop. But especially professionals, but anyway.
They don't start calling you Wilbur or anything, no?
No, they don't.
Okay.
We, on a lot of our paving projects, we use decomposed limestone
mm-hmm.
in between. It has a little bit of a different look, and it does a very good job of holding those stones together. So
okay.
there are a lot of ways to do these things, so. Anyway, that's just one of them.
And you're there to make some recommendations for a complete landscape plan, which we can get into. But
you
first,
bet.
Good morning, caller. You are on with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Hi. Is this Bartlesville Classified?
Well, this is the Consumer Calls program starts at 9:10. Right
okay.
now, you're right on the garden line. If there's something that we can help you out with your garden questions, Larry Glass.
No, I don't, and I'm sorry.
No, that,
but
don't.
Thank you very much.
Not a problem at all. We'll talk to you in about an hour. Well, actually, a little bit
okay.
more than half an hour, okay?
Happy gardening.
Thank
Bye.
You very much.
Thank
okay.
you for calling. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call, and I do hope she'll call back after 9:10 or so.
Anyway, in the garden, back to that.
Yeah.
What to do in that? It's a good time of year to do some trimming and pruning.
Mm-hmm.
In about 2 weeks, the maple trees and the birch trees will start. The sap will start running on them.
Oh, good.
So you're not too late, but it will get a little messy especially if you have a maple tree over a car or a driveway or something, and you want to trim a branch off.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to run all over it. So, if you want to do some pruning on it, get after it right away. But
now would be a good weekend.
But now it's time to trim back some damaged branches. We really haven't had any severe weather this year, so
thankfully.
There's not a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
But still, there could be some old stuff up there you might want to trim out. And you can look at the branching structure. And the branches typically branch out at a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's an angle which they sort of come up and go. And if you see a branch that's not quite the right angle, then perhaps there's something wrong with it.
Okay.
So you need to take some action to trim it out just to keep the disease down, keep your trees healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only are they expensive to buy, but they're terribly expensive to take out.
Yes.
If something goes wrong. So you want to do what you can to keep them healthy. And keeping them pruned up properly is one way to do it. Now, there are a lot of tree professionals in town, one of which I know very well.
For a regular caller on this program, and he can certainly join the conversation if he chooses to.
Right. And I know he does an excellent job, and he knows what he's doing when it comes to trees.
And I think with many of the trees in town, I mean, yes, there are some things that as a homeowner we can probably do if we have the proper guidance, but sometimes once the tree gets too high, you know, we just have to call in a professional because they have the proper gear to get up there and do it safely.
One thing you can do is ask the tree person you hire or want to hire what species of tree it is and so on. And if they can readily identify it, then I would say, yeah, he's the guy to go with. And then ask about his liability insurance and all this other stuff, workman's comp, everything else. That's mm-hmm. a big part of really the expense of taking one out is that insurance. So you want to, when you're having tree work done, you want to have a professional, just kind of like when you do your landscape. Professionals generally know what to do and how to respond to a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you get a professional guy to do that.
And I think as long as we're talking about trees, and when you're planning to plant that tree, that hopefully you do have a plan, so, you know, talk to Larry about siting so that you don't end up having it committed surgery on every once in a while by the folks from PSO.
Right, exactly. You want a tree to be an asset, not a liability.
Yeah.
And so trees that are planted in the wrong place, you know, like a pin oak, for instance, if you plant it near a patio,
mm-hmm.
well, they get some stem anthracnose, and stems, when they get older, stems start to fall all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some years, will just be full of acorns. So there are some trees that around a patio you might want to plant, and there's some that you really don't want to plant, and outdoor living areas, too. So keep that in mind, too. And there are some trees that just really do nothing. for instance, a Chinese pistache, if you get lucky and get a male plant, they really don't drop anything. And there's some maples out there, too, that are pretty good about that, too. So, but anyway.
Are there maples that don't drop the little helicopters? Or?
There is, and there's a Brandywine maple, and they're a male cultivar of the maple, and they're not a huge, huge tree. They're kind of a medium-sized tree. They have a fairly deep root system and good, good fall color, beautiful. And they're being a male plant, they don't have that problem.
I mean, so, as a youngster, it's nice to go run out to the street and grab a handful of those helicopters and throw them back up.
But. Oh, we had more fun as kids dropping those helicopters everywhere. It was fascinated by the way they spun around and just started to dig a little hole in the ground to plant themselves as they were spinning. But yeah, so but there are, you know, there are some ash trees too that don't do anything, and even some oaks that don't have a real heavy acorn. The English oak was one that didn't have an heavy acorn population. And water oak is another one that has just a small acorn. I've got two in my backyard, and I really don't notice them because they are so small. And then the leaves are real small, too, so I just kind of blow the leaves off into the beds to make a good mulch. And it's fairly close to the patio. It's 20 feet away from the house, and the branches are starting to get to it.
Okay.
In that vicinity. And it's, the trunk diameter is about 12 inches. It's only been in the ground 10 years, so. They grow pretty quickly.
And that's something that Larry can help you out as well, as far as, you know, if you plan on planting this immature tree, how long before it reaches something where you can really enjoy it?
Try to visualize the tree in its situation 20 years from now, and do you really want that there? So anyway. But, yeah, we can talk about the different tree species and what they do, how big they're going to get, how close to plant them, how far away from utilities and drainage patterns they need to be. So that's kind of one thing we can do in the garden right now, is do a little bit of planting. And so as far as that's concerned, that's important. It's to plan for trees.
Okay.
Because we really like them and so on. And birds and what like them and so on.
And I think they do so many neat things for us as far as just, you know, keeping the house cool, helping the birds, the squirrels, and all the other creatures that use them for some part of their life support system. Works out well.
They have to fit the ecosystem, too. They have to be able to survive in your soil type and the amount of available water and so on, and how much work you're wanting to put in them. They have to, you just really have to cater the species to the area.
Okay.
And there's so many species out there from which to choose.
918-336-1400, the telephone number to call, and we'll get you on the air, answer your garden questions as we continue in just a moment.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Hurry into Peter's True Value in Dewey and take advantage of special stock-up prices and all-purpose batteries. Right now, get your choice of Duracell, Copper Top, Alkaline batteries. Choose a 16-pack of AA or AAA batteries for $9.99. Or for $10.99, get an 8-pack of C or D batteries or a 4-pack of 9-volt batteries. Rely on these batteries to charge flashlights, remotes, portable electronics, and more. Get these bargains of the month while supplies last. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
Yeah, I just thought we'd start up again. No, actually, I just enjoy playing Larry's Brothers banjo music, so thought we'd include that one as we come back out of the break this morning. And next time he's visiting you, Larry, we need to get him in here and just provide those for us impromptu, live and in person.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Come on, Robert, if you're listening, get on a plane, get up here. Anyway, getting back to pruning trees, you want to be sure to prune them properly.
Yeah.
Don't hat rack them. A lot of people, they have no idea how to trim a tree, and they just go in there and they'll just cut it off the top, you know, and they hat rack it. And you get all kinds of disease problems when you do that and so on. So just don't.
Just
do that.
Okay.
Do a little research. You know, everybody's got the internet.
Sure.
So, you know, research it.
Well, our OSU Ag Extension report this morning was on tree pruning, so you can get a little bit of help from the Ag mm-hmm. Extension Service as well.
Now, if you go to our webpage at the nursery, mm-hmm. we have a link to the OSU Extension fact sheets.
Okay.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, they got some neat stuff there.
You can find all kinds of information. You can download the PDFs, too, and put them in your computer and have access to them. You don't have to print them. So that's pretty nice. We got a bunch of them downloaded at the nursery, too.
I'll bet you do.
When it comes to tomatoes and pruning and all that. But mm-hmm. it's pretty easy to do. Just we got a banner ad on your radio page here, and it'll link you right to our webpage. And then we've got helpful links. So.
Okay, we have calls ready to go. Good. Well, that one didn't stick around. Let's see if we can go with this caller. Good morning. You're on with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Good morning.
It's going to be a gorgeous day to do that pruning you're talking about, Larry.
You bet.
Any of these trees that the hydrostatic pressure is moving up in, it's undoubtedly the best time of the year right now to get those pruned so they have a little time to harden off.
Exactly.
Before they start to put the leaves on, start to put the buds on, you know.
Yeah, I've noticed.
If you do any severe pruning, why, of course, then now's a good time to do it. And like you said, hat racking is a very questionable deal. Occasionally you find a situation to where, you know, instead of just reducing the crown and thinning it out, you know, people will do that, you know, to try to keep the structure sound. And it doesn't work.
It does. It will. A lot of people are doing the Bradford pears and whatnot. And
Well, you know, the thing about it is Bradford pears kind of like a bad weed. You know, they're a beautiful tree. They do a great job. They do it fast.
Yes.
You know, when Alex Sherman introduced those trees to this area back many moons ago.
Yeah, in the 70s, yes.
Yeah, it was. It was in the mid-70s. You know, mm-hmm. He just came back from a convention in Las Vegas, if I remember correctly. You know, and had some of those shipped back here, and I mean, they made the reputable tree services a lot of money. You know,
but they were at their time; they were the ultimate tree.
Absolutely!
No insects, no diseases. Yep. It grew real fast, beautiful in the spring, sometimes good fall color. It establishes quickly.
Well, they do want to put a good fall color, but the thing a lot of people don't understand is if they want to get the color out of their trees, they've got to have the soil conditions. You know. In order to get the color that they need.
Exactly.
You know, so many trees come off and they don't have any coloration in the fall, and people, they don't ever bother to take the pH of the soil and see what nutrients they might need to get the maximum coloration out of their trees, you know, and it makes a tremendous difference.
Right.
You know, like I said, if you hire a tree service to come in and do it, well, make sure, you know, we get so many fly-by-night since you're here. Same way with the nursery business. I swear the city has restrictions on this stuff that they, you know, they don't seem to enforce them.
Well, this, you know? It's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard to do, but then again, you know, it is possible.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of these guys that do this stuff do it on weekends when there's nobody on at the city that will enforce the regulations, you know, the city ordinances. Anyway, you guys have a good day. Like you said, today you might want to keep your saw sharp as opposed to your shovel.
Hey, there you go. As long as I've got you, you did mention something that I think bears further discussion. You talked about checking the pH for trees and getting the maximum color and benefit out of them. Is that something that as a arborist that I'll say the good ones do on a regular basis?
Well, not necessarily unless the customer, you know, asks to do it. You know, it's just additional time spent, additional expense. A lot of people will take their soil samples up extension centers, OSU extension centers, and they'll check it for you, and then you can add whatever elements you need to add to the soil. You can always go buy Green Thumb out there, and Larry and them are really, really knowledgeable. They've been doing it a long time. They've got the experience, you know, and the qualifications necessary to lead you in the right direction. And normally they've got all the chemicals and stuff that you need, you know. But, yeah, just exactly. Take you some soil samples. There are some fact sheets at the OSU Extension Center that you can get that might help educate you a little bit. A lot of that stuff, like you said, is available on the Internet, which makes it a little easier. You don't have to go a long ways to get the information, you know, but, you know, get your soil samples lined out, get your pH tested, and go by and have Larry and them. If they don't have it, they'll get whatever you need to get the soil in the right condition.
You bet. You bet, Russ.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Y'all have a great day. It's a gorgeous morning out here.
All right. I know.
Thank you much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call and always the professional advice.
Exactly. So. On another vein on that, I kind of like to pick out trees that will grow in the conditions that are there. But you don't have to modify it.
That makes a lot of sense.
There are some species that will grow here and there and do fine in any soil, and some are picky.
And, well, I would say, as I think, look over some of the conversations you and I have had, a lot of them, I'll say, will tolerate a lot of stuff, but they're not going to thrive and do what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. We have a caller?
No, I thought we did, but we don't.
It's the office. All right. Well, anyway, getting back to trees, tree of the week is a Japanese maple.
Okay.
Acer palmatum. This tree is generally used for specimen interest.
Okay.
And it prefers part sun to shade. And we have a caller.
We do have a caller. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my question isn't about trees.
That's okay.
Is it time to cut the... monkey grass off. Mine is awful green in some places, like it's not even turned.
Yeah, we're at the very beginning of the time when that can be done. I kind of like to wait just a little bit longer, because what's there gives some protection from some really cold weather that we have yet to come.
Oh, okay. So what, like later in February?
Yeah, typically the middle of late February is a good time to do that. But you could do it right now. I don't think we're anticipating any really severe cold, at least for the next week. It's going to get down to 17 degrees Wednesday night, but that's not enough. That's not enough cold enough to kill it. But it does. What's on top does lend itself to some insulative qualities, so it will help a lot.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for the phone call. So she could, but she might be better off.
You could, but it's slightly risky.
Yeah.
Got a caller too?
We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I have a kind of like a honeysuckle, but it's red.
Uh-huh.
And it's been there for about 12 years. But it's straggly. How would I cut it down to where it can grow better? But it's straggly. Some of it's dead, and I don't know which ones.
Well, honeysuckle has a kind of a finite lifespan on it, so if it's been there quite some time, it might be just having some troubles, and might even be time to get a new one. But anyway, in trimming it, you want to trim it down to it's what we call a primary scaffold, and that is the main trunk coming up in two or three side branches coming out too, and that'll sort of freshen it up and give it a kind of a new look and life, if you will.
Cut it way down.
Yeah, don't really cut it way down, but just sort of cut it back towards the main trunk.
Just leaving the kind of like trimming back a grape arbor. Take it back.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like trimming it back a grape arbor, or even trimming a tree back. Yeah, just kind of follow those same principles and try to keep as much as you can the main stalk on the height, because the red honeysuckle doesn't grow as aggressively as the other honeysuckle, and it'll take it a while to come back up if it's cut down really low.
Okay.
Another thing you might do is cultivate the soil around it and augment the soil with some fertilizer, such as mill organite, which is an organic type fertilizer. And you can pile it on real heavily, and it really won't hurt the plant. But it has a lot of trace elements in it that a lot of these plants here need, because that's not present in our soil.
Yeah, we're just rocky.
Yeah, so if the soil were worked up, and also during the course of the summer, if it were mulched, it will probably do better, especially if you have shallow soil like that.
Okay. Now, I got a wisteria that's straggly.
Mm-hmm.
So how would I cut it? It's just all over the place. It's vines is all over.
I would follow a similar principle, but I wouldn't do it right now. The wisteria blooms in the spring, and it blooms on old wood. So if you're going to have any kind of show on the flowers, which is the primary reason why we grow wisteria, who would want it otherwise?
It's like a bush.
And what you'll do by pruning it now is you'll reduce the amount of flowers, if not eliminate the flowers, that are probably present on it at this point, and will go ahead and bloom shortly. So you typically, wisteria, you prune them after they bloom in the spring.
Yeah, they're both bushes. They both just vine all over.
Uh-huh. So if you really want to have some flowers from your wisteria, I would refrain from cutting it back at this point. But the honeysuckle, I wouldn't hesitate to cut it back because it blooms on new wood in the summer.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much for calling. I think that's among the most common type of questions we get is, when do I trim some of these things?
Yes. That's very important. It's,
yeah.
Actually, not only the weather, but the wind and...
Yeah.
And the who and the wow and the how and the why, whatever. So
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, trimming is kind of an important thing to do and need to make corrective action if necessary. If it's too big and bushy like that, definitely cut it back. If the wisteria is a real problem, if you can't get the groceries in the front door, don't hesitate to cut it back.
Yeah.
But if it's just a matter of appearance and all that, wait a little while on that.
Okay.
Anyway, getting back to the Japanese maple.
Yes.
It's good for specimen interest in the landscape. We like it for its form. In other words, the branching form and the color.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the bloodgood is one of the more popular ones. It has a good purple color on it. And it likes well-drained organic soil.
Where's going to find any of that around here?
Yeah, where are you going to find that? There are some areas in town, actually, that has that. So use this plant in a prominent place in the landscape and keep it away from silver maples and hackberries. The root system competition can be overwhelming. So if you had a lot of hackberry trees around the house, you might have some troubles with your Japanese maples as far as resistance to diseases and pests and whatnot. So anyway.
Yeah, so either...
It is expensive, so the installation labor cost... And labor costs have less of a bearing on the cost due to its particularity. You can do it yourself, or we can advise you on how to plant one.
Mm-hmm.
And pests are primarily borers and wildlife, and on occasion, bagworms. So wildlife, such as raccoons, they'd like to sharpen their claws on your Japanese maples.
Mm-hmm.
And borers just love them. Yeah, we've had people with these... Your gorgeous $300 Japanese maples, and all of a sudden pieces of it are dying off here and there. And then you look and get down close to the stem, the bark is also peeling off, and that's the borer damage.
Okay.
And they just love them because there's so much sugar in the trunk.
The animals must publish maps. There's a juicy tree over in this neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, but anyway, the insects, they just kind of fly around and they just land on something. If it happens to be the right thing, they take care of it. So that's kind of how they work. They don't really target it. They just kind of plop down. Well, it's no good. I'll just die. But the next egg that hatched will find something and it'll go on. So that's kind of how that works. But anyway, Japanese maples, they do very well here in the right situation. They coexist rather nicely with oak trees. And
okay.
Some of the hard maple trees, they do pretty well with red maples and whatnot, but not silver maples. And on a particular facade of a two-story house, they'll do very well. Say on the east or the north side of a two-story house,
okay,
they'll have some shielding from the hot, dry winds in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And keep them away from the wind. That's another good point. The leaves tend to tatter, especially when they're young. That's why we leave them in our shade structure at the nursery to shield them from those real strong winds we get in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Because they rattle around like a flag on a flagpole, and the ends, the tips of them get burned. And as soon as that happens with a Japanese maple you're trying to sell, they're just toast for
sure.
That year.
Yeah.
You'll have to keep it on, repot it, and save it for next year. Maybe it won't get so windy and it won't tatter the leaves so bad. Once the tree gets established in the ground, that'll be less of a problem. The wind tatter will be less of a problem, and sun scorch will be less of a problem as they get more mature. But when you get them, the root system is small, sometimes as big around as this microphone stand.
That's pretty small.
And that's all the roots are concentrated right there, and it tends to dry out a little quicker.
Trying to get an image, let's see, a 45 RPM record was a 7-inch diameter record, and that one is considered, I'm going to guess that base of that mic stand is probably about a, I don't know,
it's
4.5, 5-inch, yeah. Maybe a CD.
That'd be a gallon-sized container.
Okay.
45 RPM records. Probably half our audience don't even know what that is. I mean, I had hundreds of them when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But anyway, so keep in mind also that when first getting it established, that the root system is all in one place, and it's less tolerant of weather extremes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can expect some appearance deterioration on the first year of your Japanese maples. About the third year out, though, they're off and running, and they're just about bulletproof. So they can take weather variations really well, but just getting them established is tough.
Okay. 918-336-1400. Your phone calls when we continue in just a moment.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
(918) 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers to get you on the air for Green Country Gardener. Larry's here to answer your questions and give us some great advice, like taking that walk around the house periodically, particularly if you're a relatively new occupant, homeowner of that home. Take a look and invite Larry out just to see what you got.
Exactly. Now, another factor of Japanese maples is the leaves can suffer some appearance in the spring, and it's a symptom known as leaf anthracnose.
Okay, so that's not catchy.
No, you don't have to worry about it and run away and hide. No, I don't want to be poisoned by this leaf, you know. It's just a common thing that happens with Japanese maples. Red maples get it, too. And the London plane tree and sycamore trees are very susceptible to leaf anthracnose. And it causes the margins of the leaves to kind of die back and crinkle up and make it kind of... appearance is kind of ugly. Red buds get them too a little bit. This characteristic cup-shaped leaf now and then, which is also caused by weed and feed fertilizer. But anyway, for the most part, it's probably just leaf anthracnose. And sometimes when your Japanese maples are growing in the spring, they first come out and they look really nice. Then some of the leaves look all wrinkly and curly. And then later on, the new leaves coming out have no problems at all. So there's this layer of leaves in there that have this leaf anthracnose. Well, during that time frame when those leaves are coming out is when the weather conditions were right for this disease to occur. And it doesn't hurt the tree too much unless it gets really, really severe and knocks them out. But it will cause some appearance issues with a certain layer of emerging leaves as they come out on the stem, as the stem grows. And I've seen this a lot of times, and people bring in leaves, and they're really worried about their tree, and I'll say, that's nothing wrong with it. And they go,
I can look at the leaf.
And I'll tell them, and then I'll get down to the nuts and bolts of it. Then they'll understand that it's just what happens when we have some repeated moisture and some cooler weather in the spring. It causes some issues, some appearance issues. What can we do to prevent that from happening? Daconil will work pretty well. And you have to be somewhat religious about applying it because you never know when it's going to occur. And it usually occurs during wet, warm periods. So it'll help, but I don't know if it'll stop it completely. We have some systemic fungicides that'll probably keep it under control too.
Okay.
But if you do have a perennial problem with leaf anthracnose on your Japanese maples or other trees, perhaps the air drainage isn't that good in that area. And you might want to consider maybe thinning out the canopy a little bit to let the air circulate a little better.
Okay.
Or if there are some other trees around that are blocking the airflow, then perhaps you need to open that up a bit too. So it gets back to pruning your trees and keeping it open and so on. So it's just not just a real heavy, dense growth on it. So anyway, that's another problem they have. And it's just not much to worry about unless it really gets real bad. So.
Okay.
Anyway, our shrub of the week is the boxwood.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you don't have to trim this one like a box, as the name implies. The boxwood is a good dense wood. It makes good little boxes, so that's why it's called boxwood.
Okay.
Anyway, there are hundreds and hundreds of varieties of boxwoods. And so if one of them, say, dies in the middle of a hedge, sometimes you're better off just letting the others grow in and fill in, trying to match it up, because
yeah,
who knows what variety it was. And there's Japanese boxwoods and Korean boxwoods and English boxwoods, and they're all bred to intermingle these different nationalities together to create a desirable plant. And they're always coming out with some new ones. And the one I really like is the Baby Jim boxwood.
Why?
Well, why not? Oh, no.
That answers that question.
Well, okay. There's a variety of the Winter Gem boxwood is a very popular one. It gets 5 to 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a really nice big plant. And the Baby Jim boxwood, as the name implies, doesn't get that tall. You might get 3 feet out of it. It's a really good plant for use as a low hedge.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to trim it so awful much, because it doesn't grow and grow and grow like some of the Winter Gem. So if you have a situation where you want a smaller boxwood, you might consider that. And it's a very popular shrub. We can't keep them in stock hardly, just for that one factor, that they are very tame and very easy to control.
Mm-hmm.
And small. So, and then there's the upright, the Green Tower boxwood, which is becoming kind of a favorite, because some of your plants, like your dwarf Alberta spruce, which might have mite issues,
mm-hmm,
these will do a little better in that situation. And also they're more tolerant of soil types. And we have planted some green towers in various soil types. And we have found that the looser and more organic and airy the soil is, the better they're going to do.
So it goes back to what we kind of started the program with, getting you over to take a look at someone's yard, landscape, garden, and make those recommendations that, you know, this plant you have here, you could have this problem or this problem. Maybe you might want to consider changing it out for this other one.
Right. So that's a good one to have too. But anyway, boxwood is a very diverse grouping of plants, and anywhere from upright to green mountain boxwood is a real nice cone-shaped one.
Mm-hmm.
And the bluish color is really nice. And there's just hundreds of varieties out there. So, and they all have a particular need, and you can come by and see the nursery and see all kinds of them. I've got some boxwoods that we salvaged out of people's yards and mm-hmm, plant them. And the north side of the house is just butt ugly, you know, just dandelions, and it's a mess. And I just put these in there. Now it's a pretty nice looking shrub, but I do nothing to it because of all these beat up old salvage shrubs I planted in the yard, trimmed the back and let them come back up.
Well, that's good. I mean, and of course, you know, it's a great test location for you just to see how these are going to react uh-huh, from year to year.
And there was another variety of boxwood in the past called spreading boxwood. And it kind of lives up to its name. They're getting a little more difficult to come. I think the Baby Jim has sort of taken them out in popularity, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And good color all the time. And the Winter Jim has good color too all the time. It's kind of a derivative of the Winter Jim boxwood, the spreading boxwood. So okay, it's kind of a good one too if you get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Baby Jim is, and it holds its color nicely too. We've had good luck with it.
That's important.
Mm-hmm. So boxwood's a very versatile plant, very adaptable, very drought tolerant. And the shortcomings of the boxwood are mites. You remember that smell?
Yeah.
You come up, oh my God, you planted these bushes, now in the front of a house smells like a kennel. Well, that's because of spider mites. And we have controls for that too. So anyway, it's not that hard to control.
918-336-1400. Time for a call or two when we continue in just a moment.
The new and upgraded PowerStar tractors from New Holland and Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville offers you the very best in ergonomics, visibility, and efficiency. The VisionView cab provides industry-leading visibility and convenience with two wide-opening doors, a flat deck platform, a 10-vent climate system, the Commandeer console, the left-hand power shuttle lever, and more. In short, PowerStar comfort is extra large, but the operating costs are extra small. The precise fueling of the Common Rail fuel injection system in their Tier 4B engines make them ultra-efficient, and the industry-leading 600-hour service interval decreases your cost as well. Jensen Tractor Ranch now offers PowerStar tractors in two horsepower levels, the traditional 75-horsepower model and the new, smaller 64-horsepower model. Both models are built New Holland Smart. Stop by Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville soon to learn more about PowerStar tractors.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand most trusted by builders and remodelers, Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they are our most popular windows and doors. 400 Series Windows and Doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Looking forward to spring, but we're not quite done with winter yet, and we're still going to have to deal with some cold temperatures sometime over the next, say, 6 weeks or so, Larry.
You bet. Time to trim back those roses a little bit, too.
Okay.
And we have done some conversing with some other professionals in the business about the rosette's disease on your roses, and have found that if you follow a conscientious program of mite control, that you do have some advantage, at least over not doing it, to control the rosette's disease. And it's spread by a mite. It causes some severe fatal damage to the roses. And it's a disease for which there is no cure, with the exception maybe of controlling the mites that get on it. So the plants that are around the roses that are susceptible to mites, junipers and boxwoods and things, if those are under control, and then you use a mite control on your roses also, it shouldn't be much of a problem. And the mites really don't become a problem until it starts to get hot. Typically the middle of May or something is when that starts to become a problem.
And does that affect virtually all varieties of roses or even some of the newer drift roses?
I don't know. I think there are some of the resistant varieties. You might have some good luck with the David Austins and so on, but the knockouts are really highly susceptible. And my Julia Child hasn't gotten it yet.
Good.
So she has the recipe for success.
And if you want to find out more about that recipe or just invite Larry to stop by your home and make some prescriptive recommendations, whether it's a full landscape plan or just why don't you think about this or that,
get some advice on keeping your shovel sharp, too.
All right. So that's great advice. And Green Thumb Nursery open weekends this time of year.
You bet.
More on the way as we check news coming up in just a bit.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory.